Welcome to Little Joe's Conservative Corner, the podcast where we delve into the latest news through a conservative lens. In each episode, Little Joe sifts through the top headlines and news articles, offering insightful commentary and analysis from a right-leaning perspective. Whether it's politics, culture, or current events, this show explores the issues that matter most to conservative listeners.
Get ready
to cut through the noise and get to the heart of what's really going on in the world today.
Let's get started.
Welcome to Little Joe's Conservative Corner.
Feel to you?
It doesn't feel well. You know, it says everything's going better, but it doesn't feel that way.
Daryl's kids, both in their mid-20s and employed, still live at home.
When I retired, I didn't expect for my kids to be here with me. You know, I was like, my golden years, me and the wife.
You thought you'd be empty nester.
Yeah, you know, having fun, you know.
I want to play a soundbite about President Biden in previous State of the Unions. This is about the border, 2022-2023.
We need to secure our border and fix the immigration system. And as you might guess, I think we can do both. Congress must restore the right.
You know, and there's a lot of back and forth there. Obviously, immigration is an issue we see on every poll that we look at.
It took a while for it to develop, but it is rampant now throughout the country because people who live in far places removed from the border have gotten a taste of what it's like when these immigrants arrive in large numbers and tax their social services programs and cause crime and all the rest of it. And the president is vulnerable on this issue because he sort of didn't do anything. And people can see that, and they can say time and again the border is secure, as you kept hearing them say, and they can say that we've done everything we can do. But people, I don't think people believe that. And, you know, it'll be interesting to hear how he presents that issue. Also, of course, obviously, Brett, Ukraine and Israel. It'll be interesting to see how much of the speech he devotes to foreign policy, how strong he is compared to where he has been on Israel, but as well on Ukraine.
I want to play a soundbite about entitlements. This is back in 2023, another give and take with the Republicans there.
Some Republicans want Medicare and Social Security to sunset. I'm not saying it's a majority. Well, I'm glad to see you. And I tell you, I enjoy conversion. I'm not politely not naming them, but it's being proposed by some of you. Look, folks.
Now, obviously, that back and forth was interesting. The entitlement issue is still a big issue. Both parties not dealing with it. But you wonder how the State of the Union is going to set up on the issue of Israel, for example.
Exactly right. He came out strong and basically he has stuck to his guns in terms of continuing to the armament shipments to help Israel and so on. But rhetorically, he's moved away from Israel, and you know the reports are the White House is furious with Benjamin Netanyahu, and the president has talked about the need for more humanitarian aid into Gaza and all the rest of it, which suggests he's softening on his support. I'm not sure he really is, but it's a big issue, and within his own party, his support for Israel is hurting him with a wing of the party, which is considerably larger than it is in the Republican Party, for example, that is very sympathetic toward the Arab side in this conflict and long has been, and especially toward those who are suffering in Gaza. Well, I've always thought that the age and acuity issue was a ticking time bomb. And I was saying back when it was not at all fashionable to say it, that he is senile. And now I think he is palpably senile, and the country sees it. And one of his challenges on Thursday night, Brett, I think, would be whether he can assuage the concerns of those even within his own party who think and say that he's too old for the job.
All right, welcome back on this Friday, end of the week, thank God. Biden had his State of the Union last night. That was Britt Hume saying that Biden obviously has lost his cognitive functions and wanted to see how he was going to do Thursday night. I got to be honest with you, I don't know how he did, because I didn't watch it. Because I think I could better spend time staring at the ceiling than listen to a speech that Joe Biden, somebody else wrote for him. He's going to attempt to read the teleprompter the best that he can without screwing up. And all it's going to be is lies. Why do I want to sit there, unless I'm just one of those people, and I'm not, that want to just sit there and get myself enraged by the stupid things that he says, there's literally no point to watching his State of the Union at all. I mean, none. Now, anything that he says that he may do to help fix up the country is a lie. Anything that he says positive about the country right now is a lie. Anything that he says at all that comes out of his mouth is pretty much a lie. So if you were wondering what happened during his State of the Union, just know that it was one very long lie about everything. There's no way he could begin to clean up the mess that he's made in the United States. There's no way. Because to clean up the mess that he has made means that he has to do a complete 180 and start doing things basically our way. And he can't do things our way because if he does, he's going to lose the support of the radical left that supports him right now. And he literally has no shot at the White House at getting a second term. So he's not going to do any of it. You see, moderates, I think they're starting to understand that you don't matter to the Democratic Party anymore. They bow down to the radical side. They don't care about the moderates anymore. They don't want to play in the middle. They don't want to stay centered. I think most good politicians want to have the argument somewhere in the center. You give and you take a little bit, but it's somewhere where they can meet on some common ground right there in the center, where maybe the policy is gray. It's okay. It's a little okay for us. It's a little okay for them. It's a little bad for us, and it's a little bad for them because it's a compromise. They don't want to play that way anymore. They only appease the radicals, as radical as they want to be. Socialism, communism, totalitarianism, fascism, whatever terminology you want to use, that's the side that right now they are bowing down to and wanting to please because those are the ones that they care about. You have a lot of radicals in Washington right now because they're drunk on power. They've gone unchecked for so long. So many of these establishment politicians have been in there for, their shelf life has expired. Okay, they have no right being there anymore, but they have been there so long, the people have not held anybody accountable that they have basically decided that this is their country, they're going to run it the way they want to run it, and they're going to do what's best for them, not for the people, not for the United States. And this is because we stopped paying attention. This is because our parents stopped paying attention. It's an amazing thing when you talk to people. A lot of people, most people hate politics. I don't blame them. Politics is, it's lies. It's constant lies. And you got to figure out who's lying and why are they lying. And you got to dig deep into it. And what's the real motive behind what they're saying? Why are they trying to sell it to you? All of a sudden, why are they working on this together? It's a big mystery. But at the end of the day, everybody knows that if a politician's mouth is moving, they're lying. So most people don't care about politics. They're more interested in other things that they do in their lives and whatever that may be. But that's pretty much where the problem lies. Because I know that they're this older generation. I mean, I've talked to so many guys that are older than me. They've never voted. I mean, they blow my mind. I look at them and say, you never voted, not one time in your whole life. No, they never even registered. I'm like, are you kidding me? You're 60 years old. You have never voted for anybody local or federal, like nothing. No, I don't pay attention to politics. I don't care. Nothing ever changes. That's why these things happen to us, because we had a generation of people that stopped paying attention, you know, and like any opportunists, when these politicians saw that nobody was really paying attention anymore, they took full advantage of it and exploited it and enriched themselves and did what they wanted to do with the country, and they stopped caring about what we think. That's why things are so out of control. That's why the left listens to the radicals. And I'm going back here. I kind of went way off there to come back. But the point is, why does the left listen to the radicals? Because that 20%, the radicals are the ones that do pay attention, and they happen to be the insane ones, and those are the people that do show up at their houses, that do show up in front of their buildings, that do send them letters and call them and harass them and make them feel that they have to answer to somebody, in which case they answer to them. Yeah, I mean, there's a little bit of that they agree with them in there, because I think that a lot of these people in Washington are radicals themselves right now. So they do agree with some of the things that these radicals say. But because these radicals hold their feet to the fire, they're going to do whatever they tell them to do because they want to get reelected, and they know how bad it could get for them if they don't please this particular class of people. Politics is nasty and it's dirty. We have to do our best, and that's why I always say on this show, and I'm sure you've heard it on plenty of other shows, you have to get engaged. You got time to piddle around on a video game. You got time to go sit down and smoke a cigar. You got time to just stare off into the field and read a magazine. If you got time, you got 5 or 10 or 15 minutes in a day, because it's not every day, where if something is that important, you could call your local representative, you can call your senator, you can call your governor, and you can tell them how you feel and tell them your opinion. And the reason that that matters is because if you call them with the right tone — this is not yelling and screaming and belittling and cursing at people — but you call them firm about what your passion is, and that you don't like that they're not doing what they were elected to do, and that you will work extra hard to make sure that they do not get reelected if they don't start straightening up, you have no idea how much weight that conversation carries. And we have to do our part, because if we're not going to do our part, then we can't sit here and continue to complain about everything that goes on around us that we don't like, because you're not doing anything to help the situation. We got to do better. You know, it's the hardest thing to look in the mirror and say to yourself and be critical of yourself and say, yeah, I could do this better, I could do that better. People don't generally like to do that. People don't like to see their own faults and their own flaws, and that's fine. But there has to come a point where you have to look in the mirror and say to yourself, what did I do to make it better? And if your answer at the end of the day is absolutely nothing, then don't get upset with the way things are, because you have done nothing in your life to help them. And I don't want to hear the excuse that, oh, I'm just one person, what's one phone call going to do? I don't know how many people listen to me. I don't know, hundreds, thousands. I mean, I got hundreds of thousands of downloads. I mean, if you figure every one of those people made one phone call, okay, in all the states, they all made one phone call, you don't think that that would have an impact? I certainly do. I think that if we all keep pushing and we all take that extra 5, 10, or 15 minutes, maybe you get into a good conversation with one of these people and it lasts a half hour and you really get some time to chew into their ear because they're willing to listen to you. Things can change. We could definitely make it happen. We could absolutely make it happen. It's on us to make it happen. I got little kids. Believe me, I make phone calls. I send emails. I do my part. And I do it, and I'm not bragging. I do my part, because when I see those two little tornadoes, boys will be boys. Those are two wrecking machines right there. But when I see them and my other two children, my older children that have turned out wonderful, they're good, solid people, I know that it's my responsibility to do those things that I do, to take a few minutes out of a day when something's going on, when a bill's coming up, when I need to say something, that I can send these messages or make these phone calls and talk to these people and tell them, hey, listen, I'm not your average voter. I'm here to hold your feet to the fire. This is what you said. This is why you were elected. You're not doing what you said, which means to me that you're the wrong guy to be elected, which says to me that next round, I'm going to do everything in my power to rally people to make sure you don't get reelected, because you are not doing what you promised you would do. You're not a man or a woman of your word. You're not doing as we want you to do. You work for us, in case you missed that. And believe me, I've told them that, and it has not been well received by some of them, but some of them don't like hearing that, but it's the truth. It's tax dollars. It's out of our money. You work for us. We do not work for you. You get done what our agenda is, We don't work for your agenda. I don't care what your one agenda is. Collectively, we decide what we want and you make it happen. That's what you're paid to do. That's why you were hired. And by hired, that's being elected. We elected you. We hired you to do this job for a short period of time to get out there and do our bidding for us, because that is what we want. We, the people. God, our forefathers were geniuses. Everything they write, everything they did, inspired by the Lord. If you really want to dig into that and check it out, whether you are a person of faith or not, if you look into these guys writing the Constitution, writing the Bill of Rights, would take breaks where all of them would go over to the church and take hours, and they would pray by themselves, asking for God's guidance on how to write these things. If you learn your history and you see all that in your history, that's why it is so genius. That's why our Constitution and everything has lasted as long as it has, because it was divinely inspired. It was not just from men. It was from God telling these men what to put there to make sure that we have lasted as long as we have, over two centuries. Right now, we're starting to crack and fracture. The cracks are getting worse and worse. You just can't put spackle on them anymore. We're at a point now where we need to fix the foundation and stop the cracking and repair everything that needs to be repaired. And the only way that that can be done is through all of us putting forth the effort to make sure it happens. I can't believe I'm at 16 minutes. I just looked down and see what that was not. I had other things to do, but I'm just there. I'm already done. What in the world? Well, I guess it's Friday. Hey, it is what it is. Hope you guys have a blessed weekend. We'll do it again next week.
And that wraps up another episode of Little Joe's Conservative Corner.
Thank you for tuning in and joining the conversation.
Don't forget to subscribe to stay updated on all our latest episodes. And join us next time as we continue to explore the issues that shape our world. Until then, stay informed and stay engaged.